Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to be here with you. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. Thankful for the Lord's goodness. Thankful for His mercies. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Just happy to be in church this morning. Amen. You know, if you pay attention to the news at all, you see nothing but crazy things just spinning wildly out of control, but I'm so thankful that we have a foundation this morning. Amen. We serve a God who never changes. His word never changes. Amen. And He's a solid rock. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for that this morning. Let's just go to prayer this morning as we change the order of the service. Father, it's a privilege, Lord, to come, Lord, this morning into Your presence. Come to the house of worship, Father. And Lord, this morning we don't want to take that lightly, Lord. We don't know how many opportunities that we will have, Father, either as a congregation of people or individuals, Father. We just don't know. None of us is guaranteed a tomorrow, but we are thankful, Lord, for today. We're thankful for right now, Father. We're thankful for Your presence among us, and we're thankful for what You've done for us. Lord, I appreciate, Lord, my brothers and sisters coming this morning and, Lord, just creating an atmosphere of faith and, Lord, letting praise, Father, come from their lips and, Lord, just honoring You and worshiping You, Father. It's just a wonderful thing, Father, and we just appreciate it so much, Lord. And, Father, I just pray that You would bless Your word this morning. Lord, we look to You, Lord, because we know that Your word has something for us, Lord. As we heard in the prayer earlier, Father, that You have something for each one of us. Lord, me as a man, I have nothing. I'm needing my daily bread as well, Father, but Lord, we're all looking to You. We're all looking to Your word because we believe, Lord, that You are here to feed us, Lord, to provide our needs, Lord, to minister to us. Lord, no matter where we are in life, whether we're a new baby Christian, whether we've been a Christian for 50 years, whether we're young, whether we're old, somewhere in between, Lord, You are God of all the living, Lord, and we're here as part of Your heritage, Father. And we just pray that You would bless this time, Father. Bless Your word. We thank You, Father. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us, Lord, as we just set this little time aside, Father. May we not be distracted, Lord. May we not be pulled in our minds and our thinking from one place to another. But Lord, may we just think Your thoughts this morning and think on You, Lord. And I pray, Father, that You would somehow bring change to our lives, change and deliverance, and Lord, just what we need. Thank You, Father, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 While you're standing, let's just read some scripture here. John chapter 8, verse 31. We're going to be speaking about freedom in Christ this morning. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe that's a promise for us this morning. Amen. We continue in His word, then we are truly His disciples. We are truly part of Him, part of His work, His followers. Amen. And He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered Him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that you shall be made free? So they're saying, look, we were called of God from way back when Abraham was called. We were called out of the nations. And we aren't slaves. We've been free men. We've been free to worship how you say that you shall be made free? And he answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. They were in bondage and they didn't even know it. Amen. They were slaves. Whoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but a son abideth forever. Amen. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, they clung so tightly to the message of Moses, and they should have. That was God's message in that time. But they were clinging so tightly to it all the way back down in Jesus' time that they missed that the Son was there. They were clinging to the message of the servant and missed the Son that the servant spoke of. Amen. But if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He says, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. So we just want to speak about freedom in Christ this morning. And I'd also like to read from Romans chapter 8, if we could do that as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, notice, you know, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, and who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This doesn't mean that you just walk around with no condemnation because you claimed Christ as your Savior. Right? Walking after the Spirit means that you're being led of the Spirit and you're living according to the Spirit. If you start to walk after the flesh, well, you might get yourself into trouble. So this isn't just a free license to, you know, live loose without any condemnation. But if you walk in the Spirit, you can walk with no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. And that's what we want to look at this morning, is the law of the Spirit of life. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said that the truth shall make you free. And he said if the Son would set you free, that you would be free indeed, which means really, truly free. You know, it's kind of, it's one of those words that we don't use too often, you know, where we say, you know, we add an indeed to the end of it, right? But it just means that there are shades of freedom, right? Amen. There are gradients, I suppose, of freedom, levels of freedom. But he says, if the Son has set you free, you are truly, well and truly free indeed. Amen? So they were pointing to their natural birth, who said, we are not slaves, we're never in bondage. But Jesus was saying that if anybody who walks according to the flesh, anybody who is tied up with sin, is not free. And he has come to set us free from that. Amen. Now, you know, don't tune this out as, I've heard this is simple, you know, this is basic gospel 101. I've heard this a million times. There are levels of freedom. Amen. And we are constantly being entrapped, and the enemy is attempting to enslave us. And we are constantly entangling ourselves. And so we have to fight a battle to stay and to walk in the freedom that Christ has given us. Now, freedom is always defined by laws. It's limited, or it's given a definition by laws. For instance, here in the United States, we talk about our freedom, and we are a free nation and free people, and we certainly enjoy a lot of freedoms, of course, but our freedoms have limits, right? In fact, one of the earliest things that we learn in school in civics is that you have freedom as long as it doesn't cross over and impinge on the freedom of another, right? In other words, I have freedom as long as I'm not stepping on your freedoms, right? I can't do something. I can say, well, you know, I'm free to just walk around. I'm free to go in your house. I'm free to take whatever I want from your house. Well, my freedom's ended right there, right? Because you have a freedom to keep your own things, right? So there's limits to these things, right? And of course, as we've seen in our own nation, our freedoms are easily taken from us by our government as we give them up. And certainly in the past 20, 30 years, we've given up more freedoms than ever. But we understand that the Bible is speaking about an ultimate freedom. Amen. Being under the law of the Spirit of Christ. The law, that law, defines our freedom. Amen. The law of sin and death defines a certain level of freedom, which is not freedom at all. But the law of the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, enables and defines our freedom. Amen? Now, in the Garden of Eden, we could say, oh, Adam and Eve, I mean, that they were given amazing freedom, right? They were free from care. They were free from everything. They could do whatever they want, right? They could, in terms of, I mean, power over nature, and they didn't have to worry about death. They didn't have to worry about so many of the things that we have to worry about, right? But they did have God's word, and God's word did have rules, right? Don't do this, do this. And if you do this or don't do this, right, it'll be well, or there'll be consequences. So their freedom, even though we look to that and we say that is man's ideal state, right? That God created man in the Garden of Eden. I mean, we want to get back to that place where man walked with God and wasn't constantly looking over his shoulder, wasn't worried about the future, wasn't worried about tomorrow, wasn't getting tired, didn't have sickness, didn't have heartache, there was no death. Freedom from all of those things. Amen? But yet there was a law of God's word that held a certain line. And as long as they stayed there, they had that perfect freedom. Amen? Because that hedge that word made divided them from between freedom and bondage. It actually held bondage back. Amen? Because we saw what happened. When they transgressed the word of God, what happened? They became slaves. They were enslaved to sin. Suddenly they were subject to all of these things that they had never experienced before. Suddenly they experienced fear for the first time. Right? Suddenly those wonderful, you know, animals that they cared for and they had fellowship with, suddenly they were either afraid of them or they were trying to eat them. Right? Because now they were in bondage. They had traded their freedom for the bondage of sin by stepping over the hedge of God's word that was the dividing line between slavery and freedom. Amen. So this is where we find ourselves today, where it's the same lie that is being told to people in this day that the devil told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Amen? She had freedom. And yet the devil tried to convince her that she was in bondage. Right? Surely, you know, God wouldn't do that because he's holding back on you. You need to be able to express yourself. You need to be able to, right? That was the lie he was telling her. He was trying to tell her that somehow the confines of God's word that was holding back slavery was actually keeping her in bondage from some good thing. But in fact, we know what happened. Right? She accepted that lie, transgressed the word, bondage came in, and it's the same thing that people are doing today. Where the enemy says, express yourself. Amen? Don't you want to be free? You want to be free to be yourself and dress the way you want and live the way you want and do whatever you want, go out in the world, and you want to be able to do what you want to do on Sunday. You don't want to have to come to church on Sunday. Isn't that bondage? Aren't you enslaved to have to come to church on a Sunday morning when you could be out watching the football game? Amen? Or you could be out doing something else. You could be out with your friends. Amen. You could be looking, sisters, you could be dressing like the world and you could be wearing all the, all the trappings of the world. The clothes, the makeup, the hairdo, the whatever. Amen? And he tries to convince you that you're the one that's enslaved. Amen. Just like he tried to talk Eve, and did talk Eve, into believing she was enslaved. But in fact, we find out that when we follow his line of reasoning, we find out that he's the one that's in chains. And all he's doing is trying to pull as many down with him as he can. We are free to do all those things, but the wages of sin is death. Amen. Eve was free to do what she wanted to do, but she lost the freedom that she had as a consequence. Amen. This is an age of people's rights. Our age, this age that we live in, this time period, in this while God is dealing with the Gentile church, it's an age of people's rights. That's how it's characterized. Amen? Where great value is placed on individual freedom and self-determination. Those are the founding principles of our nation. Think about that. Individual freedom and self-determination. Self-determination means I decide my future. I decide what's going to happen to me. And you know, those are notable, as I said, things that our nation has been founded on. But it's this ability to choose is actually God's original idea. Because God had the idea that he didn't want to just have his creation be like robots. He wanted something more than angels. Angels that were created to worship him. And by the way, day and night cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." They worship him day and night without ceasing. They worship him with music and voice that we cannot even hear or comprehend. Beauty beyond measure. And they worship him and they serve him. Amen? And they're faithful to do that. But yet, he wanted something more. And so he created a man and a woman that had the ability to self-determine where they would go and what they would do. He wanted someone to choose to love him, to choose to serve him. to choose him over an alternative. Amen. This ability to choose, where the Bible would say, choose this day who you will serve. Amen. But the God of this evil age, who we know as Satan, that old serpent. Amen. The God of this evil age, the God of this fallen world, blinds people so much that they actually think that there's another option besides serving God or serving Satan. And it's a great deception. It's at option number 3. Do you know that? It's not there, but he makes you believe that it's there. And that is serving self. Right? If you ask somebody who is headlong into hedonism in the world, doing just whatever they'll tell you, I'm serving myself. I'm my own master. That's what they'll tell you. Right? But they're deceived. Because they are actually serving sin's master. They are actually in bondage to the devil. But he has so blinded and convinced them. Now, there are some people out there that just freely admit, yep, I serve the devil. Right? But there are so many more people who think that they're doing their own thing. And in fact, they are in bondage to demonic forces. Amen. I mean, there was some time ago in the news, there was now this, you know, this whole gender thing has kind of taken over the news cycle. But even before that, there were people that claimed to be animals. Right? You've probably seen those things. Right? They claimed to be. I saw one here not too long ago where a guy, I think it was in Japan or something, he claimed to be a dog. And he like had this like dog suit and he walked around and lived like a dog. He's just expressing himself. No, he's expressing a demon. He's in bondage. Amen? Fully experiencing a demon's power and influence. Think about that. I mean, all the things that happen that are becoming more and more and more manifested in our time. These were all things that were in seed form 50 years ago. They were there, but they weren't manifesting the way they are now. And now that's just a proof that it's manifesting time. What about the seeds of God? Just in seed form, just starting to grab a hold of that word, just a teaching rain in the church. But now she's coming into her full fruit. It's a manifesting time. Amen. But it just strikes me so amazingly, you know, because everything that is good, they call evil. And everything that's evil, they call good. And everything that they call freedom is actually bondage. Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus speaking here, there was delivered unto him, or speaking of Jesus, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me," excuse me, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So, certainly familiar with this, but I just love the notice the phrases that are in there. Liberty to captives. Amen. To open the prison. Deliverance, rather, to captives. Right? To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To set at liberty them that are bruised. So, this is Jesus' ministry. Amen? To come for those that are in bondage. But the first thing that he had to do was to get them to realize that they were in bondage. And that's what he has to do today. Amen? That's what we try and do by the preaching of the word, is when people are being enslaved or entangled in something, the preaching of the word is there to try and show you that. Amen. You know, so many times, you know, we'll see our pastor stand up here and he'll say, well, you know, I feel I hit a nerve there. Right? Well, that's what the word is supposed to do. Right. It's supposed to expose things. Right? Right? It's supposed to lift things off out of cover. Because the enemy, he dwells in secrecy and hiding and trying to camouflage himself. And as long as he's not exposed, he can lay into somebody's life. And he can drag them down and affect them. And if they don't recognize what's happening, they'll just go right along with it. Amen? But the word comes to lift that cover up. For them to see, that was a demon that had been tormenting me. That's the enemy that has been coming against me. Amen. And that's why we appreciate that hard-cutting word, because it's not trying to cut you. It's trying to lift off the covers of the enemy that's trying to hide out. And they're doing that to all of us, brothers. It doesn't matter if you're born again or not, if you're a experienced Christian or a baby Christian or whatever, it doesn't matter. The enemy does that to everyone. They come and they try and lay in your life. They try and hide in little cracks and crevices and corners, and they try and influence you when they can. But the word of God comes to shine a light on those things. Amen. That's why we appreciate the hard preaching of the word. Right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Because it's not trying to harm you. It's trying to expose the enemy. That's why, you know, sometimes Brother Baker will say, I'm trying to fight your devils for you. Amen. That's what's going on. Amen. And so for Jesus to be able to set a captive free, they have to recognize that they're in captivity. They have to know that there's something wrong. Right? They have to wake up and he would preach. He says, I'm here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. To sound the Jubilee trumpet. Amen. 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 That is what the gospel is to us. It is the sounding of freedom. Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, the people that Jesus was speaking to, many of them thought that they were free because they were religious. Amen. They were in the message of their day. Amen. They believed that they had the word of God. And they did up to that point. Right? But they weren't living the life. And in fact, they had allowed the enemy to come in and enslave them with religion. So it's not just out in the world. It's not just alcohol and, you know, pornography and all of these things out in the world, but it's also religion. Religious devils can enslave just as well as a hedonistic, worldly devil. Amen? But our salvation flows from the law of the Spirit, where they were taking the law of sin and death. They were taking the law of God and making it bondage. Amen? And brother, sister, you know, it's a shame that that happens today even in our churches, you know? Where we would take man's rules or church's rules and we would try and make that a thing of bondage that would hold people, that we would hold, or not that we would, but that some people would hold other men in by fear, that they would hold them by personality, personality cults and things like this. these great movements of men where they say, well, they lift up a man and they say, that's, you've got to, you know, he's, if you want the Holy Ghost, you got to go to this man. Well, it's crazy, right? Man's rules will never bring life and freedom. Now, that's not to just say that we would be rule breakers. we have rules, you know, just small organ, you know, rules for maintaining order. But that's not what we're talking about, of course, right? We're talking about legalism. We're talking about religion that holds you in its grip so tightly that you couldn't even get a hold of Christ. You know, there's just nothing there but just the grip, the iron grip of religion. There's no life there. It's all about holding on to that, what happened in the past, or that the rules set forth by the church or the pastor. And that is bondage. Amen. Amen. We want people to be born again. But people will stay there because they're comfortable with it. Because they're told that as long as you do what you're told, you'll be fine. As long as you obey this, X, Y, Z, obey this, do this, you'll be fine. And people find comfort in that. Amen? People find comfort in, well, as long as, you know, I know that this, you know, my pastor or this preacher, I know that he knew Brother Branham, or I know that he was, you know, God did this for him, and as long as I know, as long as I stay close to him or I'm in his church, somehow, well, you see, all of that is bondage. Amen? But they get into a comfort zone of bondage. Amen? They get comfortable with those demons. Yeah. Nicolaitan spirits, they get comfortable with it. As long as I follow the rules, I'm fine. I'm saved. You're a slave. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's take that a little further, because it's true for any spirit that we allow in our lives. Right? We become comfortable with it. We don't maybe recognize it right away, but we can become comfortable being in bondage in certain areas of our lives. Amen. Let me just read to you a little statement here. We'll touch on more on that a little bit later here. This is from the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, that's the way with a lot of people. You're tied down with creeds and denominations from the old mother prostitute back there, telling you that Jesus isn't the same, or there's no such thing as healing, there's no baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's none of the stuff like that. Trying to tell you them. You've been so tied so long till you still think you're tied. In other words, even after the word comes to set you free, you still think you're tied. The good man Christ gave his blood that he might wash us and loose us from our sin. And what is sin? I'll ask anybody to tell me, what is it? Sin is unbelief, that's right. He that believeth not is condemned already, and your sin is your only thing that keeps you from being free. Your sin is your only thing that keeps you from being free. It's because God cut you loose from your unbelief, but you're so bound with creeds till you still think you're tied. This is why people go right back to things. Amen? Unless they get filled. If they get delivered. I mean, Jesus taught us that parable, right? Someone gets delivered. The demons are kicked out of their life. They're free. And the house is clean and swept. And unless it's come and filled, replaced with something, replaced with life, then that old enemy comes right back in. Says, look, it's all cleaned up. Let's move back in. He says, you're so bound with creeds till you think you're tied. Now, we always, brother, sister, when we read all these sorts of things, of course, we're not fighting that same battle in terms of, you know, we aren't fighting against those old mainline denominational spirits so much. But those spirits are still here. Amen. They are still around this move. He said, you would say, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist. They tell me I'm Church of Christ, or the days of miracles is past. There's no such thing. You poor starved crow. So now don't take that as just Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist. Those are just examples of spirits that all exist around this message. Right? Because you've got groups that, oh, well, you know, there's, we don't need that, the moving of the Spirit, and there's groups that, oh, we don't, you know, they're dead, and, right? You get that same thing. You poor starved crow, why don't you come along this morning? Why don't you fly away? Amen. Rise up with the wings of the morning and fly away to the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. That's it, brother, sister. He who the Son has cut free is free indeed. You say, well, my pastor, nothing about that. The Bible said you're free. That's right, you're free. My church, well, cut loose. He has washed us and loosed us from our denominations in His own blood and has made us so free that we can think for ourselves and do for ourselves and talk for ourselves and act for ourselves. And now when He's saying that, He's not talking about you going, people take that whole independent thing, right? Well, I'm just going to go off and do my own thing and I don't have to answer to anybody. What He's saying is it's just you and Jesus. Amen? Well, if I went back and told my pastor I had to be rebaptized, well, what about it? You're free. This is a revelation, you know. All right, you're free. If you're sprinkled with a little salt, shake like this, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, He's talking about just some of the rules and regulations and creeds and dogmas around churches. Here's a pool sitting here, ready this morning with water in it. See, yes, sir. It's not right. So you're not bound anymore. You are free, but maybe you don't know it. Let me tell you this morning, the Bible said He loosed us from our sin, our unbelief, that we might receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. So go away free. You don't have to take what any church says about it. Take what God said about it. Amen. Here is His revelation revealing who He is. Amen. Now, Saul was a type of this man. He was beholden to the priest. He was doing their dirty work, essentially, right, of the priest. But he was zealous for the kingdom of God. He was in his heart, thought he was serving God. But he was tied up by religious spirits. Amen. He was in bondage, not realizing it. Amen. He thought that by obeying the priests, by obeying the traditions, obeying whatever that man-made hierarchy said, that was the way to serve God. Amen. But when he met Christ, then he experienced true freedom. He was set free from all of that. He realized the bondage that he had been in, right? But yet, he was the one that would later say, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But you see, it's willingly allowing himself to be constrained by the law of the Spirit. Amen. No longer was he under the law of the priesthood, the priests deciding whatever was right. They were the arbiters of the law. Amen. They did whatever they felt. But it was the law of the Spirit of life. We know that Jesus lived a life of true freedom, of course. Amen. And the Bible says that he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So he wasn't beholden to anyone else, but He was constrained. He only did what the Father showed him. See, that's an example of what we are speaking about of freedom in Christ. It's the real form of freedom. Right? Where the enemy would try and convince you that you are in bondage when you are free. But there is a constraint. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He was under headship. He was under submission to the Word of God. Amen? He was the living Word of God. He could only do what the Word of God said. He could only be what He was. Amen? But He wasn't beholden to demons. He wasn't beholden to priests. He wasn't beholden to any other man. He didn't bow before Satan. When Satan offered Him the kingdoms, He didn't bow. He wasn't in bondage. Amen? Satan was trying to get Him to lay down His freedom. He was trying to get Him to trade for it. Right? Chasing self-will. Think about that. But He walked in victory. And He was able to deliver others because of that. Amen. Uninfluenced by the religious leaders. So, that, you know, that's another thing. You know, influence can actually bring bondage. We call it peer pressure. Right? Well, if you're giving in to peer pressure all the time, who is your master? Your peers. Right? You're actually enslaved. If people are out there and they say that, oh, they're just having a wonderful time and they're living their best life and they're allowing themselves to be influenced and pressured by Hollywood trends, who's their master? They're just mimicking what they see. Right? So who's in charge? Amen? They're enslaved and they don't even know it. I always laugh. It's funny in one way and it's horribly sad in another. But, you know, you see people that are dressed. I remember when there were several, you know, of the fashion styles that came out. It was been many years ago. There was the emo fashion style and the goth fashion style. And I remember when that first started to come out, when people first started to kind of dress different ways or whatever. Somebody would dress in all black, you know, and they'd paint their fingernails black. Or they'd wear a lot of piercings and stuff. And I remember, you know, when it first started to come out, people would say, well, I'm just being me. I'm just being independent. I'm being different, right? And yet, there were people all over that were doing the exact same thing, right? They were all mimicking each other. They were imitating someone. And they didn't even, that was the sad thing. They really thought, I'm just being independent. No, you're actually imitating a spirit and an anointing that's falling on a whole group of people. Amen. And they all look the same. Amen. You could pick them out, right? Well, they're just, look at that person. You could look at one in New York City and one all the way on the West Coast, and they'd be acting and dressed exactly the same. Why? They're under the same anointing. They don't realize it, but they are actually enslaving themselves to an anointing and in a spirit. And peer pressure is the same way. Who do you want to be your master? You're going to let people dictate your decisions. Well, then they're your master. Right? Instead of letting the Word dictate it. Hallelujah. We have the full word. We're not beholden to any man's interpretations. Amen? We're not beholden to creeds. We're not beholden to any church. We've been given the revealed word. That is our headship. That is our leadership. And we have freedom to walk in that word. And that's what we should walk in. Why would we want to then put ourselves under some sort of bondage of any kind? Amen? But the thing is that when you are walking in some sort of bondage or enslaved in some way, to be free again, you have to hear. Amen? You have to hear the word. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Amen? When Jesus was speaking about, I have come to proclaim the acceptable time, the acceptable year of the Lord, he was referencing back to Jubilee. Amen? He was there to proclaim freedom. He was there to proclaim liberty. But they had to hear it. They had to listen. They had to receive it. Amen? Hearing the word. Listening. Letting the word speak to you. The word coming and saying, that's for me. Not just that's for somebody else, but that is for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I had another. Nope. Sorry, I thought I had another quote there for that. But I've got more later. Just wait. There's an example that Brother Branham talks about in his meetings. He talks about a man that was possessed by a devil. And this man went around to all the different meetings that were happening at the time. Deliverance meetings, healing campaigns, and things like that. And he would disrupt the meetings. He would get up on the stage and he would physically attack preachers. He was possessed by a devil. And he came to one of Brother Branham's meetings. And you remember the story. And the man came up on the stage and said, I'm going to knock your head into next week, you know, something like that, right? And something came over Brother Branham, and he said, well, you're going to lay down and across my feet. You're going to bow before God. You know, and you know the story. There was quite a conflict going on there. But when the word was spoken to him, that man was forced to humble himself. Right? And he was thrown down on the ground, just exactly what, like Brother Branham said, he was just laying down, grabbing hold of his feet, and that spirit went out of him, right? But the men that came and were kind of prying the guy off of his leg said, well, you know, what do we do? And they asked him, is he healed? Is he delivered? Right, from this thing. Are we going to have to worry about this guy anymore, right? And he said, no, he isn't, because he worships that spirit. Right? He wanted, he invited that spirit into his life. And he allowed it to stay. And I don't think, you know, when he said he worshiped, this is just me, but I don't think like he had a little altar in his house and was like, you know, oh, spirit, that he's not like that. But he gave it reverence in terms of He allowed it into his life. He allowed it to influence him. He allowed it to lead him. He believed it. Amen. He allowed it to probably started coming in just with little words, little lies about God's word, lies about the move of God. And he started to believe that and receive it and brought it into his life. And because he held on to that, he couldn't be totally free. He had to realize, for him to be free, he would have had to realize that he was in bondage to a demon and then want to be free from it. But that's not what happened. Brother Branham cast the demon out so that he could deal with him so he wouldn't get punched in the face, right? He had power to cast him out, but Brother Branham didn't have power to keep him out of that man's life. Only that man had that, that was his life. Amen? If he wanted to receive that demon back, which he said he did, then that was, Brother Branham knew he was going to receive it right back into his life. Amen? The spirits that we are dealing with, brother, sister, are more subtle than that many times. We don't necessarily, I've never seen something like that, right? But certainly it happens, but we are dealing with demons in our lives every day. Amen. Little things. Amen. They're not trying to get you to go up on the stage and punch the preacher, thankfully. I would run. I'll just admit it. Amen. But it could be something very small, right? Many times they'll come in and just say a word against what's being preached. Just plant a thought. Just a little seed thought. You know, well that, and you know, Brother Doug's always hitting on this because these are demons that are planting these seeds. Well, he's got it out for you. Right? That pastor, he's after you again. Well, where did that little seed thought come from? Did the Holy Spirit give you that thought? Where do you think that's coming from? Right? And then you have the opportunity. What are you going to do with it? Right? Are you going to receive it in? And when you receive that, you become just a little bit tied up. It's a little string. Just a tiny one. Just a little innocent looking piece of twine that gets tied around your hands. You could break it at any time. But then the next thought, and it's going to come a little stronger this time, and maybe it's going to come in a different way. Well, you know, because he's always preaching against you, he's got it out for you. He doesn't like you, right? Well, now the string is a little tighter. Take another wrap. If you allow enough of those thoughts and you accept enough of those lies of the enemy, pretty soon it's a chain. And it begins to wrap around your hands and your feet and your throat. And before you know it, you're enslaved. Amen? Sickness is that way too. Right? What will you accept? I believe that is how the enemy works a lot of times. All the enemy, the devils are doing is probing to find out what you'll take. Well, let me try this. Well, they didn't take that. Well, just knock it down just a notch. Okay, how about this? They didn't really take... Just soften it just a little bit more. How about this? Oh, they took that. Okay, now we can build on it. All right, now they'll take this. Now they'll take that. Little by little by little. And before you know it, you're in bondage. Amen? Sometimes, brother, sister, we don't even realize it. I thought it was so powerful what Brother Baker was preaching about. I think it was last Sunday, right? Where he was talking about the subconscious. The subconscious realm, where deep down, we receive things and we're thinking things that it's not even in our front conscious. We think that we are believing And in our subconscious, we don't. Right? Our subconscious is not in line with our minds, our thinking, our conscience. And we may say, oh, I want to be rid of this thing. But down in your subconscious, there's something holding on to it. Amen? Why? I don't know why. Maybe sometimes there's sympathy. Sometimes there's a tension that goes with these things. And our subconscious holds on. It's comfortable. It's the things that we know. And our subconscious holds on to those things. And in your mind, you're saying, I want to be rid of this. I want to change. I want to... And in your subconscious is saying, it's still in bondage. But I'm here to tell you that the only thing that can make your subconscious and your conscience line up is Him. Amen. Because you can't do it. Amen. How could you do it? Right? I mean, Brother Baker was giving us some tools. He was, you know, in your conscience, you want to confess the word, and eventually it'll sink in, right? But it's not like you can just flip a switch and say, well, oh, you know, hey, down there, get a clue. Right? Again, you're pointing, I don't know where it is, right? Like he was saying. But Jesus can do that. He can deliver your subconscious. Amen. Hallelujah. He can deal, the word can deal in your subconscious. If you are in bondage in your subconscious, in your inner man, and sometimes you've glossed it over and you don't even realize it, but yet the word can come and show you that. Amen. And deliver you. Amen. That's my God. Hallelujah. That's what I love about Him. Amen. He delivers us. He saves us. He gives us freedom even when we didn't realize that we needed it. Hallelujah. That's the Jubilee. Amen. You know the Jubilee. In the Jubilee time, there was every 50 years, there was a trumpet blown in the land of Israel. They called it the Jubilee. Amen? And anyone that had been enslaved or sold into bondage, or had sold property into bondage, had lost property because they had to forfeit it, you know, couldn't pay a debt or something like that. Debts were forgiven. Slaves were given freedom every 50 years in the Jubilee. But there are some important details about that. There was the Jubilee sound that went forth. And it had to be received and accepted. They had to hear it. And say, that's my freedom. And then they had to receive it. And then walk in it. And it was only for natural born Jews. It wasn't for people that were brought in from other nations, that were brought in as servants. It was only for the children. Amen? Those that were born. They were born to be free. Hallelujah. Amen. The children of God are born to be free. Amen. You and I, as children of the living God, we were not made to serve sin. We were not made to be in bondage. We were not created to be slaves to this world. We were created to be free. Amen. But even when we find ourselves in bondage, there's a Jubilee. And the Jubilee is for the born children. When they hear that trumpet, it means something different to them than those that were of Egypt or any other nation. To them, that was just a bunch of noise. But to a born Israeli, a child of God, amen, they would hear that trumpet and they would say, "That's, do you hear that sound? Amen. Why do you come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays? Because I hear a sound. They say, well, it sounds like slavery to me. It sounds like religion. No, that's the sound of freedom. It's the sound of God's word. It's the sound of my deliverance. Amen. And then they had a legal right when they heard the sound and they said, that's for me. That is sounding for me. That's my trumpet sounding. They would receive it as their own. Amen. And then they had a legal right to tell their taskmasters, to tell their slave owners, to tell the ones that they were indebted to. See you later. Well, where are you going? What's you have to stay and finish this job. He said, I don't. That trumpet says, I don't. That trumpet says, I am no longer a slave. That trumpet says, I'm no longer indebted to sin. That trumpet says, my debt's been paid. That trumpet says, I can take back everything that you took from me. Even though it was done legal. I owed the debt. I couldn't pay it. But the trumpet says that now my debt's been paid. Hallelujah. Now I can go free. I don't have to listen to demons of sickness. I don't have to accept their lies. I don't have to listen to demons of the world. I don't have to be in bondage to that. Brother, sister, do you know that they've done studies? People want to point to all the things of this earth, the great accomplishments of man. Do you know that they've done studies in people that are addicted to drugs, alcohol, all the different addictions, things that are killing people, that are mental illness, all of those things. There is a extraordinarily high proportion of people in what we would call celebrities, celebrity groups, people that are rich and famous, that everybody wants to be like, that everybody wants to emulate, that everybody wants to talk about. All those rich and famous people are addicted to drugs, they're addicted to alcohol, they're addicted to pornography, they have broken marriages, broken families, many of them are insane. They have mental diseases. Why? Because they're in bondage to demons. And the devil tries to lift that up as some kind of standard. And say, oh, that's what you should follow. Oh, that's the best that this world can give you. If that's the best, I don't want any part of it. I've heard a trumpet. Amen. I've heard the sound of freedom. I've heard the living word of God. That calls me out of all of that. That says I don't have to be in bondage to any old devil. Amen? Hallelujah. It's our legal right to walk out as free children of the living God. It's our legal right to take every possession with us. Give me back my land. Give me back my property. Amen. Whether it was cattle or whatever, take it back. Amen. Freedom. Hallelujah. Many times we've heard the example of the courtroom. Amen. A courtroom. And we know that God is, he's represented as a judge. Amen. And we've heard how, our sin must be tried. And there's all these ties to law and lawlessness, right? And we take it back to our courtrooms as an example. And we were guilty. Amen. We broke the law. There's no question about that. The law of sin and death is clear. That we recognize that we were guilty. But the beautiful thing is, brother, sister, that We have an advocate. Amen. We have an attorney. Hallelujah. Our attorney, the attorney, the lawyer, their job is to operate in the best interests of their client. Right? That's why they're hired. They may not like their, this is in the natural now, they may not like their client. They may not even believe their client. They might think their client's a liar. Right? They might believe, secretly believe my client is guilty. But their job, their responsibility is to act in every way in the best interest of their client. Amen? And the beautiful thing, brother, sister, is we have the best attorney ever. And not only that, our attorney is the judge. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. One time, Brother Branham talked about one of the greatest men to ever live. And I always love this example because it's such a vivid picture in my mind of Alexander the Great. Right? It's even in his name. I wonder who gave him that name. I bet he did. Right? What do you want us to call you? Alexander the Great. And you know what? They called him that. Because that's how powerful he was. Nobody laughed, right? And that's what he was known in history as, Alexander the Great. Because that's how powerful he was. He conquered the entire known world. Like I said, the known world, it would be the world that he knew about as far as nations, conquered it. And at the same time, he was a slave. He was absolutely nothing but just a downtrodden slave. Thought he was great. Thought he was a ruler. Thought he was on top of the world. Thought he had everything that life had to offer. And, you know, if you just looked at the natural things, he did. He had wealth. Obviously, he had power. He had authority. He could travel. He could go anywhere. Anything that the human mind could think of, he could do it. And yet he was just as assuredly a slave as one of his slaves toiling away out in the field somewhere. Only he was a slave to sin. Amen? The devil had captured him early on. And he was enslaved. He died just a miserable person. I think alcohol or something, right? Just had nothing. Had nothing to show for it. And at someday, I think when the books are opened, we will see his life. And we will see to what extent he was a slave. His life was destroyed and his soul was taken to hell. Amen? And yet he had everything. That's just the lie of the devil, isn't it? Just the lie of the devil. I imagine that there were so many people in his nation that looked up to him. Oh, wouldn't it be great? Man, it'd be awesome to be him. It was such a lie that many men followed in his footsteps, trying to attain the greatness that he had. The greatness. Right? There were thousands and thousands and thousands of people killed in wars for men that were trying to get to what he had. And he killed thousands trying to get what he had. And in the end, he had nothing. That, I'm just trying to show you how strong the enemy's lie is. Amen? How powerful that deception is. He thought he was expressing the ultimate freedom, the greatest leader earth had ever seen. And he was nothing but a slave to be pulled around by demons, to be a lapdog for the devil. Amen. We used to joke about, this is going back many years too, it was when piercings started first coming in. And when people started getting nose piercings, right? When that first kind of became a thing. And I'm not talking about they put the little studs, but they would do the little ring in their nose. Well, do you know the first place that I ever saw a ring like that? It was in a cow, in a bull. That was the first place I ever saw a nose ring. Do you know why that is there? It's so you can control that animal. Bulls are big and they are powerful. And normally, little side agricultural lesson here, okay? Normally, a cow, you can put a halter on them and they're small enough that you can, it still can be a struggle, but you can control them by their head, okay? Or by their neck or something like that. But a bull is so big and powerful that you just can't do that. And so they would put a ring in their nose, and their noses are very tender, very sensitive. And you could hook a rope on that ring in that bull's nose, and you could control it. Because if you pulled on it, it hurt. Right? And so you could take this giant, powerful animal. They could kill you in an instant. I mean, it could trample you. If it kicked you, even if it laid down on top of you, right? Hundreds and hundreds of pounds of powerful muscle and sometimes an attitude to go with it. But you know what? It didn't matter if you had control. You could lead that bull around and control it by that ring in its nose. It became a slave. Amen? It had to do what you told it to do. And that's what that always reminded me of when people would get those little rings in their nose. That was the first nose ring I ever saw, was in a bull. Being led around. Well, they were being led around too, just by demons. But think of a man that's meant to be free. And he's being kicked around by a devil. He's being led around by his nose. Amen? He's being, if he starts to try and get his freedom a little bit, that devil just shakes the chain. And he cowers. What a horrible thing. What a terrible, terrible place to be. Amen? And people walk into that situation and they stay there because they think that they have something. But no child of God is meant to be in that condition. We are not meant to be the lackeys of devils. We are not meant to cower in the presence of demons. We are not meant to be led around by the devil and his henchmen. We are meant to command them. We are meant to have authority over them. We are meant to be totally free from them. Hallelujah. Can I just read you a couple more statements here from the message? We'll just read some of these here. I think we're on just one more time, Lord. Yeah. Satan has no more power, only as he can bluff with it. If he can bluff you into it, all right, but you'll have to have it. Amen? You have to allow him to wrap those chains around you. But legally, he has no power at all. Every power he had was taken from him at Calvary. That's where the price was paid. He is nothing but a bluff. If you want to listen to his bluff, well, all right. But you don't have to. You're free tonight. He has made you free. See, brother, sister, if I could just pause here. This is the power of Calvary. This is the power of what Jesus did. Before that time, they didn't have that freedom. But when he came and proclaimed liberty, now we are free. We are back on free moral agency. We can make a choice. We can choose to listen to the Jubilee trumpet. Or we can choose to stay in bondage. We are free to choose. Now, if something in the Word, he says, can make you realize that you are free by his grace, or something realize and the Word makes you understand, or some act of God, that it has included you, that it includes us all, then you can accept it on those basis and you're free also. Amen. You don't have to feel any different. You don't have to feel anything at all. It's not based on. Jesus never did say, did you feel it? He said, do you believe it? It's faith. That's right. Our faith is an arm, a mighty arm that holds the sharp two-edged sword of God. Amen. And that sharp two-edged sword will cut every promise free if that arm of faith is able to yield the sword. Some people have very weak muscle trouble and they can maybe just cut off a little scratch, enough to join a church. Others can come into justification. Some can go all the way into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But a great arm, strong arm, holding this Bible can cut every promise free. That's right. So be strong in the Lord. Now, I want to just delve in. We'll just finish up on this. I have a couple more quotes to read and that's it. But this is a powerful statement that Brother Branham is showing us here. This imagery. He's saying how you need to cut your promise free. Right. Amen. Amen? Why? Because the enemy is holding on to it. Right. He's wrapping it up in with chains and ropes, and he's trying to keep you and bind you and hold you. And your job is to take the Word of God and by faith cut your promise free. Amen. Amen? It belongs to you, but there's something that you have to do. Amen. This is from the message of the 10 virgins. He says, now that's a type of the gospel trumpet. You might have served the devil all these years in chains with drinking, smoking, gambling, and sin, dirty things, no matter what you've done. But when you hear the gospel trumpet sound, it's a sign that you can go free. You can go. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. Now you've heard the full gospel. You don't have to stay bound any longer. If you just sit and say, well, I listened to it, but I didn't hear it. See, all right. Then it ain't for you. It's for those who hear it. All right. If you can hear. So a couple things on this that just, one of the things that just really strikes me is if he says, when you hear the gospel trumpet, the gospel trumpet sound, it's a sign that you can go free. Okay? I love this, brother, sister. Because you say, well, the gospel is always, I'm always hearing the word. I've always, you know, we're always coming to church and hearing it. Right? I've heard it I've heard it many times. But you see, that's not what he's speaking about. He's saying when you hear that gospel trumpet sound for you, that's a sign to you that your freedom is right at hand. Amen. That you don't have to stay bound any longer. Amen? So when the word comes and speaks to you, you might have heard all your life, he's a healer, he's a healer, he's a healer. But then one time it strikes. And you hear it. You hear that trumpet and it's sounding for you. Brother, sister, that's your sign. That's your time. You realize in that moment, he's speaking to me. That trumpet, it might be for other people, but right now it's sounding for me. That promise that says, you can have the Holy Ghost. Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. For this promise is unto you and to your children, to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You hear that word and something in you says, that's for you.
Amen.
That's the trumpet sounding for you.
Amen.
That's your jubilee.
Amen.
That's when you take that, brother, sister, then you need to take that as a sign from God. Amen?
Amen.
That you can go free.
Amen.
That's God speaking to me, that I can go free, that I can receive what I'm desiring. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Once you've heard that, you don't have to stay bound any longer. See, because he says, well, you've listened to it. He says, but did you hear it?
Right.
Hallelujah. But if you did hear it, then it's for you.
Amen.
That's the time. Take it. Receive it.
Amen.
Step out. Cut away the promise and take it. Hallelujah. This is from the 10 virgins and the 144,000. He says, the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. So one of the things that, let's just stop here for a second, in that jubilee, when the trumpet sounded, they had the choice to go free. But they didn't have to go free. They could say, you know, I like it here, right? My master's been good to me. And, you know, maybe they've raised a family and is part of that house. I like what's happening. I like this situation. I'm going to stay. And then they would stay as a slave. They would be marked in their ear and no longer would any jubilee ever apply to them. They were permanently enslaved to that master. So that's what he's talking about. The servant shall plainly say, I love my master. And then he brings it into the spiritual. He says, I love the devil that's making me do these things. That's right. And you say, oh man, who could do that? Well, why do demons have the power to stay? It's only because people let them. He says, that's right. He says, and I think you're just too narrow-minded up there. And I just think you're too narrow. All right. I love the things. I think we ought to have these big things like this and do this in the world where we have dances and we have bunko in our church and things like that. In other words, the worldliness creeping into the church, right? He's showing that those are spirits, amen, that are trying to bring that worldliness into the church. And that devil is feeding people thoughts, well, you're just too narrow-minded, or this is okay, we want these things, and they want that. Right? And he says, oh, we have bunko in our church and things like that, and we all have a good time, and they're just as good as any of that bunch you got up there. He says, okay, that's all right. And I will not go out into this freedom of the Spirit that you talk about. They don't want it. Then his master, the devil, they don't know that it's the devil, but that is their master, shall bring him to the judges and shall also bring him to the door. Who is the door? Jesus Christ. I set before you a door. And when they did that, the mark of the beast come. In this age where the door was set, that final marking of the beast, they bring him to the door, to the post, that's Calvary, and his master shall bore in his ear through with an awl, so they'll just pierce their ear, basically. And he shall serve him forever. So that was the mark, that they had accepted their slavery. That they were okay with it. That that's what they wanted. Then the jubilee didn't apply to them anymore. He says, what do you mean, Brother Branham? If you hear the gospel truth and you refuse to walk in it, then God marks your ear where you'll never hear it no more. Now, that isn't to say that they wouldn't physically hear it, but they wouldn't hear it. Amen? You understand the difference. Right? We've talked about that. Hearing, but not hearing. He says, then If you hear the gospel truth and you refuse to walk in it, then God marks your ear where you'll never hear it no more. You've crossed the line between life and death. Then you'll go on with your organization or your denomination or the rest of your life. Looks like he was going to say life, days, forever. But he says, walk in the light, children. That's right. You'll serve that master forever. So it's a powerful thing. Amen? It's freedom. But it's a choice. Amen. Choose freedom. Amen. Or choose to stay in bondage. Amen? Which do you choose? Every time that we come together and hear the word of God, we are making these choices. We can choose to receive the correction of the word, or we can choose to not receive it. And the more that we reject, the more that we push away, the more we shovel back to our neighbor, amen, the more in bondage we become. We want the word. Amen. We want the word to clean us. We want the word to wash us. We don't want any weight of sin. We don't want any cobwebs. No matter how small the little, maybe it's just a little fishing line the devil's trying to tie you up with this morning. We don't want any of it. We don't want to put up with big devils, little devils, in between devils. Amen. I'd like to read one more. I think we just, two more from the Eagle Nest. Brother, if you could just get past that one that I've got there, the token, and go down to the eagle in her nest. We'll go to that one. It's just the next quote there. I'm just skipping the one. Brother Branham is going to tell us that we are not made to be bound. Amen? We are not made for bondage. We are made to live free. Amen. The eagle in her nest. Man was not made to be bound. Man is a free man, he says. He who the Son has made free is free indeed. He doesn't have to be bound like that. Oh, it would try and take me hours to try to express the feeling in my heart and the different things that cage men and deny them other privileges. I imagine he saw so many things because he would see the demons, the powers, the principalities that were behind every little thing. Amen? The different things that cage men and deny them their privileges. Man is in the image of God, and he doesn't have to be a bond slave to Satan. He wasn't made to be a slave. He was made to be a son. God made man in his own image. He placed him in an immortal soul and a thirst to thirst after God. And he tries to satisfy that blessed holy thirst with whiskey, alcohol, tobacco, big times, luxury. It's a disgrace to try and quench that blessed holy thirst with the things of this world. Men and women are only caged and kept away from the real God-given privilege that they have. Bound by sin, not that the will of God would permit that, but because they willfully do it. And then just one more time, Lord. Just one more quote, just one more time. Satan has no more power, only as he can bluff with it. If he can bluff you into it, all right, you'll have to do it. But legally, he has no power at all. Every power that he has was taken from him at Calvary. That's where the price was paid. He's nothing but a bluff. If you want to listen to his bluff, well, all right, but you don't have to. You're free tonight, and he's made you free. Now, if something in the word can make you realize you're free, realize it. Amen? Something in the word can make you realize it. We just read this a moment ago, but I want to read this again. Amen. Something can make you realize and understand that it includes you. You don't have to just accept it. You're free also. You don't have to feel different. You don't have to feel anything at all. We need to take this morning. Amen? We cannot go by feelings. It's not based on that. Jesus never said, did you feel it? Our faith is a mighty arm. How many have a mighty arm this morning? Amen. You say, I've just got a little bit of faith. Well, that's enough. Amen. A little bit of faith. Because why? It's holding a great, big, powerful sword. Amen. Amen. He said, that's our faith, an arm, a mighty arm that holds the sharp, two-edged sword of God. If all you can do is believe for a little bit of it, just believe that much. Amen. He says the sharp two-edged sword will cut every promise free if that arm of faith is able to yield the sword. Some people has weak muscle trouble. They can just cut off a little scratch. And he gives examples. Enough to join church. Others can come into justification. Some all the way into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But a great strong arm holding this Bible can cut every promise free. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. An entrance has been ministered for us, brother, sister. But it's up to us. Amen? Amen? It's up to us this morning. The Word. We preach the Word. The Word comes. The Word tries to tell you. You're free. You don't have to deal with these things. You don't have to give in to these things, these spirits. But it's up to us. And if we want to be free, we can this morning. That's what's beautiful about it. Amen? We can walk in freedom of the Spirit, walk in the truth of God. We can walk in freedom of worship. Maybe the bondage that the devil's been trying to tie you down is just to steal your worship. Amen? Sometimes that you just work on that. Amen? Just that simple thing. Just try and tie you down a little bit. God made you to worship in freedom. God made you to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen? And maybe that's just the first step. The devil's just trying to just tie up your worship. Just keep you from being free in God. He starts with those things. Little things like that. Like I was saying earlier, you just see what he can get you to accept. If he can get you to accept just cooling off a little bit, and you're just coming into church, just a little bit distracted, and you'll accept that, then okay. Then he'll give you something else next time. He'll give you a little bit more. Well, maybe if I can just get them to, you know, I can just tell them, whisper in their ear, you don't like this song. Song leader always sings this song and you don't like it. You're laughing, but it happens. And people, man, why does he always sing that song? Why does he sing that song? And then they start to get a little bit of, an attitude, right? The devil tries to work on you. Pretty soon you have, you know, a little something in your spirit. Amen. Maybe just a little formality. Amen. When you come into church and, well, I'm not going to worship. I don't feel like worshiping. Right? Just cool off just a little bit. There, you don't have the press that you used to have. You don't have that fire, amen, that something in you, that burning to get before God. And, amen, he just little bits of bondage. And as you take these things little by little, before you know it, you're cold, formal, backslid, and that's where you end up. So we got to shake those things off. We don't have to take them. Amen? Amen? But we have to identify them. Yeah. And don't take it personally. It happens to all of us. Right. Right? I mean, that's why I'm saying this, because I know these things happen to me, and I know they happen to you. We all are dealing with these things all the time. Right. Amen. And I'm giving you small little examples, but those small examples build up and build up. Yeah. Amen? They snowball. Before you know it, you're buried in an avalanche. Amen. But this is how little things get in the church. It's just little things like that that we accept. It's like lies and rumors and people that will tell rumors and backbite and things like that. It's just little things that we accept, that we allow to be said, that we allow those spirits to just have a little bit of grace to work. I don't want to give evil spirits any grace. I don't want to give them any room. Amen? But it takes a press, it takes a battle for us to do that. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just love you so much, Father, and we just thank you for your word once again, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have, Lord, in Calvary, Lord. Lord, where we don't have to accept any lie of the devil this morning. We don't have to bow before any spirit, any sickness, religious devil, religious spirit. We don't have to say, the devil made me do it. Because, Lord, you've given us freedom. You've sounded a jubilee trumpet, Lord. If we would just hear it and receive it and say, that's a sign that I can go free this morning. Father, I don't believe that you had this word this morning for... I don't believe it was a coincidence, Father. I know that there's a reason, Lord, why you brought this word this morning to us, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would move this morning in your children's hearts, Father. I pray you'd move, Lord. Lord, and shine that spotlight, oh God. Show us, Lord, where we've allowed demons in our lives, where we've given grace to spirits. Lord, where we've allowed little bits of unbelief to creep in. Little pieces of bondage, little pieces of rope. We've allowed it to be tied here and tied there. Maybe we've just said, well, it's just a little rope. Maybe it's just a little thing. But pretty soon, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And before we know it, we're enslaved. Father, I pray that you would shine a light, Lord, on those things in our lives. Help us, Lord. We know, Lord, you send your word to wash us. The washing of the water of the word keeps those things off of us, keeps us clean, keeps us, Lord, walking in humility, but walking in freedom before you. We thank you for it, Father. Lord, and as we just meditate on your word, Lord, and as we close out the service this morning, Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts, Lord. Lord, maybe there's some here that need to, maybe they need to repent of something, Lord. Maybe they need to let something go, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just move by your Spirit. May they know, Father, there's no shame in that at all. There's power in repentance. There's power in looking for forgiveness. There's power in coming and saying, Lord, wash me, Lord. Cleanse me, forgive me. There's power in that. There's freedom in that. Father, I pray that you just minister and move, Lord, on those hearts this morning. And Lord, once again, Father, we just thank you, freedom that you have given us, where we no longer are slaves to sin. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you. We honor you in all ways, Lord. We pray that you just be with each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We just worship him for a little bit this morning. Nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence of the Lord. Sing it again, there's nothing like the presence.
a little bit this morning, brother and sister. Nothing like the Lord. I feel Jesus in the room. I feel Jesus in the room. I feel Jesus in the room today.
In His presence.